Welcome to The Modern Shopper. This series brings together the best minds and insights of a diverse group of food retailers and other industry experts to discuss their strategic initiatives and their top of mind challenges. Our focus is around health and sustainability, e-commerce, and retail innovation. The Modern Shopper series aligns with Spoon Guru's core mission to help retailers discover a seamless, personalized, and accurate product discovery experience for shoppers based on their dietary and lifestyle needs. I'm your host, Phil Lempert. Today's topic is reinventing grocery with emerging technology and nutrition science. The retail industry is experiencing a period of unprecedented change. New technologies, global economic shifts, and changing consumer preferences are driving retailers to find new ways to reach their customers. Successful retailers will need to understand just how these forces are shaping the future of retail in order to succeed in today's marketplace. In this season of Modern Shopper, industry experts will share their insights on the changing retail landscape. My guest is Zeeshan Idris, a consumer trends champion, tech investor, digital transformation leader, global go-to-market strategist, editor-in-chief of B2B industry newsletters that cover retail, consumer packaged goods, and healthcare in the US, in Europe, and in emerging markets. Zeeshan, welcome to The Modern Shopper.
I am thrilled to speak to you, Phil. Absolute pleasure.
We know that grocery is evolving, but especially with the pandemic, is it not evolving fast enough? What will it take to improve the standard of personalization within grocery?
Great question, Phil. I think, you know, let's just step back and really try to understand food and grocery retailing. Food and grocery is a very large, complicated industry with global supply chain, local farmers, large kind of footprint of stores that are very regional in nature and also perishable nature of the food items. I think in the last 5 years, if you think about what has been the biggest change is digitization, so the rise of digitization, and also the post-COVID era as well, which we're now actually witnessing. I think that has transformed how consumers shop for grocery. In the world of digitization, I think one of the interesting stats is on an average basis, consumers interact with retailers across 10 different touch points. So that makes things a lot more complicated. I think in the post-COVID era, there is kind of rising focus on health and wellness. Consumers are now expecting their food shopping to be a lot more healthier in nature. I think this is bringing massive opportunity, you know, as well as a lot of disruption in food and grocery retail. And I feel that, you know, food retailers that no longer cater to the unique dietary needs of individual shopper will really start to become irrelevant over the next 5 years.
So I've got to ask you, and I agree with everything that you've just said, but why are these retailers still behind on the key fundamentals? You know, an example, we're coming up on the fall, and I know when I go on a U.S. Supermarket's e-com site, if I, you know, click on, you know, my attributes and I say that I'm a vegan, I'm still going to get an offer for turkey, you know, for Christmas and Thanksgiving. Why are they just not moving fast enough?
Yeah, again, a good question, Phil. I think food retailers have been laggard in the adoption of technology. You know, the focus has always been, you know, buy food products at low pricing, and then you offer that to consumers in the form of a myriad of promotions and discounts. And you know, over the last 10 years, the real innovators, disruptors, arguably, were Amazon and Alibaba. You know, for example, Amazon was the first one to launch checkout-free technology, at least in the U.S. You look at Alibaba, they brought kind of robotics to improve the customer experience inside the store. They were the first one to offer digital payments with facial recognition. So food retailers have been laggard in the adoption of technology. I think this is starting to change. So we are seeing more and more food retailers, you know, opening digital innovation labs. I feel that forward-looking grocers are really treating and leveraging technology as a key value add, not necessarily a cost center, but really as a board-level strategic priority. So I think I feel while they've been laggard over the last 2 to 3 years, there's massive interest in actually developing a more personalized offer based on the problem set you're describing. So I do see that we will see more and more change over the next 2 to 3 years in this regard.
Well, first of all, that's great news. Tell me, how important is it for retailers, in particular grocery retailers, but not limited to them, to have partnerships with technology companies?
Yeah. So I think, you know, as a retailer, it is very easy to get lost by investing in the next shiny object that doesn't translate into any real business value. And I think at the same time, if you're being too conservative, you will miss out on the enormous potential of technology investments. So I think, you know, having the right technology partnerships is extremely important. Now we know that, you know, digital and technology is a board level agenda. You know, as a retailer, you really need to partner with the right companies and really start picking use cases that create real business value. One of the tools I often recommend to food retailers really is, you know, deconstruct to construct. What that means is, you know, you actually have a mechanism in place to understand every business interaction, every business processes, you know, across marketing, sales, customer service, operations, and really try to understand the pain points and really leverage technology to solve those pain points. And I think that's where the tech partnerships really come in, you know, having the right partners that align with your business processes, speak the language of your industry, and then make sure that they are kind of, you know, long-term viable partners for you to make those things happen.
What are those secrets that you've got that you can share with retailers to make sure that they've got the best partnership possible with tech companies?
Yeah, I think that, you know, in the kind of the excitement of launching new technologies, you know, you could probably get lost in rolling something out without really understanding what is the business impact of that. And I think that's why the concept of, you know, POCs, which is proof of concept, minimum viable product, you know, test something very quickly with your customers and then refine that based on the customer input. I think that absolutely is critical. And then your colleagues are your best brand ambassadors. You know, you encourage them, you reward them with for adopting technology. I think that's key. So, you know, launch early in the market, fail faster if you have to, refine and fine-tune your offer, and then really learn from your customer input.
So now let me flip it the other way. What are those hints and secrets for the technology companies to support retailers in the most effective way?
Yeah, so, you know, Phil, 15 years ago, let's say, you know, ERP investments were huge. It was kind of spray and pray type of mentality, right? It was a large scale, very functional driven investments that retailers and other brands were making. I think now technology has taken a central role in driving strategic agenda. And really, we don't really have 18 months, 2 years before you roll something out. I think because consumers are expecting kind of, you know, real-time experience, retailers really need to partner with technology providers that can really offer that sort of solution. So how do retailers or technology providers, you know, partner with companies and really make sure their offer is aligned with what the market is saying? I would probably say really it's twofold. You know, one is make sure that you kind of move away from functional practices into building more industry-tailored propositions. So speak the language of the industry. You know, food retailers as well as other brands, other industries are really asking for that. I think the second one is your pricing structure. You know, as a technology player, really those large scale investments are pretty much out the door, you know, with cloud computing, software as a service propositions. You know, retailers expect technology providers to get their skin in the game and really, you know, create more outcome driven pricing models where you are able to show, return on investment very quickly. And really, you know, roll out value-driven POCs that offer an opportunity to retailers to fine-tune solutions based on customer input.
So you mentioned the consumer. probably that's where everything needs to begin and end, to make sure that as a retailer, you understand your consumer. Help us understand, what do you see in your crystal ball for consumer expectations? What's going to be the next big disruptor for consumers that retailers should be aware of?
Yeah, so that's the $1 billion, maybe even $1 trillion question. It's very difficult to predict. But I think if you look at, you know, what has happened over the last year or so, I feel kind of metaverse, Web3 are really set to take technology to a whole new level. And it's really being driven by Gen Z. I think Gen Z are the new disruptors. They were kind of brought up with this 3D, you know, VR type of technology experience. You know, JP Morgan is predicting that metaverse will create over $1 trillion in economic opportunity over the coming years, right? So I think, we can't really predict exactly that's, you know, how this will pan out. But we know for certain there is enormous opportunity in this new kind of shiny object. You know, you look at kind of brands such as Carrefour, Walmart, L'Oreal, Adidas, you know, they're all really investing in this new technology to really learn, you know, how they can leverage that to improve their business processes. You know, we're seeing sort of, you know, rise of digital avatars, you know, more VR-powered stores, virtual fashion shows, even, you know, using metaverse to really empower your colleagues. So I think, you know, we are really at the inception of what could become a really exciting opportunity for brands across every industry. But, you know, step back and really, you know, doing something for the sake of technology may not be the right strategy. I think the fundamental principle still remains the same. Think about your customer first, understand your business priorities, and then make sure your technology agenda really fits and meets your business goals as well as corporate values.
So you mentioned the metaverse. Is that going to be the future of e-commerce? And if it is, how do we make it better in the context of health and wellness?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we're obviously speaking about food retail. So let's look at the overall market size. I mean, globally, you know, grocery market is worth about $12 trillion. I think the e-commerce is still very small, actually, and I think it's going to grow. The growth is going to be huge over the next 10 years. I think, you know, the research is saying that e-commerce will be worth $2 trillion by 2030 as per Grandview Research. But I think, you know, if you look at the size of the pie, that is still kind of just over 15% of the total grocery market size. So what this means that the bulk of the action will happen inside the store. And I think, you know, we need to focus more on omnichannel retail, smart stores, more hyper-local delivery options. They all become strategic priorities. And I think if you blend kind of, your question is around metaverse, how do you blend metaverse into this exciting new experience? That would also be a huge opportunity as well. The second part of your question is, you know, health and wellness. I think, you know, you got to do it maybe kind of a couple of ways. The first option really is make sure your data catalog is more health and wellness oriented. For each and every product, you know, what are the rich dietary attributes that are tied to that product, right? So you need to have a very rich data catalog. The second part really is, you know, personalization of experience, right? So if you are, for example, a diabetic consumer or shopper, the business processes, for example, the marketing engine, need to be aware of that and really offer you promotions that fit your health and diet needs. So I think that's going to be extremely important. And I think the third part, obviously, is really rewarding the consumers. I think, you know, how do you make sure that, you know, consumers are rewarded for shopping baskets that have a higher score on healthy products? And we know, you know, as per a recent survey by Ipsos, in UK, you know, over 3 in 5 consumers agreed that they would like to change their diet to make it healthier. I think that creates massive opportunity for grocers to really deliver a health and wellness focused proposition. And we do know that, you know, Spoon Guru recently has partnered with Schnucks to really build this offer, which we feel that, you know, more and more technology players are partnering with food retailers to create a very super interesting proposition in health and wellness space.
If I'm a retailer, and I call you up on the phone or on Zoom, and I say, you know, I'm really looking for that one thing that I need to do this year in 2022 that requires low effort so I can make sure it gets done and have a high impact. what would you tell me?
I would just simply say take a three-step approach, because I think, you know, as technology is becoming a strategic priority, you need to really build the innovation ecosystem as an ongoing concern. This is something that you could not launch once and forget about that. I think innovation really needs to become part of your DNA, whether you are a food retailer or any brand. So I think step one, you know, create a digital innovation ecosystem with the right tech partners. You need to partner with companies who actually align with you, with your business priorities. The second is, you know, launch MVP, which is kind of minimum viable product, right? Your use cases need to be very quick to market, so you can really learn and fine-tune your offer based on your customer input. And I think thirdly, your colleagues are your best brand ambassadors. You make sure you engage and reward your colleagues to adopt innovative solutions.
Great words of wisdom. Thank you for joining us today on The Modern Shopper. And we look forward to taking your words of wisdom and turning it into reality in every supermarket in the nation.
It's been a real pleasure, Phil. Real pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity.